nature. Word for Word is an in-depth look into the lives of real people, which means this episode may contain explicit accounts of real-life events, including alcohol and drug use. The language used at times may cause some offense, but it has been left uncensored due to the accuracy of the story. No offense is intended, and we hope you enjoy the program. Across Australia on the Community Radio Network to over 70 community stations around the nation. This is Word for Word, coming to you from Australia's LGBTI radio station, Joy.
Welcome family and friends, fans and fiends to today's edition of Word for Word. I'd like to thank you for tuning in today. My name's Benjamin Norris and I'm simply delighted to continue working on this show, which has already featured some of the community's strongest voices. In the tradition of this ongoing program, I continue to look at powerful stories and insights into the life and lifestyle of some incredible people. Each week, we will chat to those in and around the community who have inspired us, entertained us, but mostly they've made an impact on the queer community. Today's guest is one of them. This man calls Melbourne home, but he shares a gift that has allowed him to travel the world. He is an international psychic medium and has been seen on countless radio and TV programs right across the country. So you might have seen him on Australia's morning programs such as Studio 10 and The Today Show. You probably also have heard him on Smallsy's Surgery on Nova. He has taken readings for Sylvester Stallone, Larry King, Kyle Richards from The Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, just to name a few. And if you're a TV buff, you might have seen him as Sarah's best friend on Married at First Sight. And he's also appeared on the show 50 First Dates. I'd like to welcome you, and I'd like to welcome Harry T to the Joy Airwaves.
Is Harry T a well-known psychic?
Explain to us your gift.
So for me, I have always been able to know and see things kind of beyond logical perception.
And when you realise that we're all connected. When you utilise prayer and meditation, you actually raise your vibration and you can feel your own energy, your own power, but also that of others.
I believe that it was your father.
Yes.
Harry T, so obviously something in your younger days clicked. You were different to other people.
I remember being able to see spirits, actually, almost as clearly as you, and I could almost touch them. And it was almost something that kind of frightened me growing up, but I embraced it, and it's just part of my life now. I couldn't think of another way to be.
Oh, my God. I didn't expect that.
Neither did I. So have you ever worried about your future and wondered what's going to happen for you and wished you could see the path ahead, or maybe you have lost a loved one?
Yep, from royal baby news to election winners and celebrity breakups, Harry T says he can predict them all.
I've ended up meeting, you know, kind of the most prominent people in Hollywood.
Beautiful. I know that no matter what we go through, you know, God dreams a bigger dream than we can dream.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Isn't it funny when you sit there and you listen to someone talk about your career?
I was just thinking, just keep going.
Well, I think that's the normal reaction. I think when you're working in this industry, you know, you're trying to cultivate a career and then you get it sometimes read to you like this and you think, well, I've done a lot.
Well, you know, what's really interesting, actually, that's so true. And listening to you speaking about me, for example, I was like listening. Mm. I was really listening. So thank you for that.
Did I get all the celebrities? Like, are there bigger celebrities?
I've done so many. So it's like, you can say whoever you really want.
Name one bigger celebrity that I've missed off that list then.
Off that list, Jolie Fisher. She's pretty famous. Carrie Fisher, the Princess Leia's sister.
Yeah, right.
She's pretty famous.
Because you just went over and did a psychic reading for her, didn't you?
I did. And she is a good friend now. And she's actually writing the foreword to my upcoming book.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, that's pretty impressive.
It's pretty cool.
Do you have to pay her to do that?
No, she's a friend. Okay. I did a great reading, so I passed.
That's amazing. That's called cashing in. Look, I reckon you're a quiet achiever because you've been slowly making a name for yourself for quite some time. Mm-hmm. And the thing that shocks me about you is that you're still so young.
Well, I mean, I shaved today, so that's probably why I look young. But I'm getting older now, Ben. I mean, I'm 30 next year, which is scary for me because I'm always so used to being, you know, the young in the 20s. But it was funny because I actually met Tyler Henry, who has a TV show of his own, and he's a lot younger than I am. So I actually felt like I was like a grandfather compared to him.
Do you meet someone like Tyler and then swap notes on being a psychic medium?
We didn't swap notes, but we had a joke about what we were wearing, and obviously I'm a little bit more vain than he is. He was actually lovely, and we had a great time together. We were in a studio on... We were both being interviewed on television separately, but we were both in the green room, ironically, for two different shows. It was nuts. Like, what was the irony of that? And then we got obviously photographed together and it was a wonderful experience for both of us because he knew who I was, which shocked me. Yeah. I clearly knew who he was because he has a TV show. And when we got photographed together, behind us was a painting of a ghost. So that was kind of weird because, like, there was a ghost painting behind two famous young gay mediums. How nuts is that?
Well, that's a sign.
It was a great sign.
So you're always looking out for these signs. But I think at the same time, I think because what makes me realise that you're so young and that you've achieved so much is how many things you've been able to still do over the last 10 years since you've been a professional psychic.
That's a good point. I did start very early. I mean, I have done this for nearly a decade professionally, which is crazy to think because I've done this all my life. So nearly 3 decades all my life, really.
Well, I reckon we have to get into this. So you grew up in Melbourne, is that right? Mm-hmm.
That's right. Born and raised.
What would you say your childhood was like?
I would say very normal. I had a father, I had a mother, I had two sisters. My mother did pass away when I was 14, so I suppose from that age onwards it did change. But until 14, it was kind of very normal, apart from the fact that I saw dead people. It was a very normal life.
Did you ever watch that movie, The Sixth Sense, and you think, oh, that's my life?
I totally related to that kid.
And what was your relationship like with your parents?
I had a great relationship with my parents. I remember that my father struggled with my gift a lot because I literally was born like this. So it wasn't something that I fell into. I was literally like this straight out of the womb, basically. Mm. And I remember my father really struggling with it because he didn't understand it. You know, my dad's an atheist. Till this day, he doesn't really believe in anything. But he really struggled with my revelations, I would say, with things that I would say. He couldn't handle it, and he would lock me outside of the house, actually, in the dark, and until I would stop crying, but that made it worse.
And what would you say your relationship was like with your mum?
My mum and I really were close, and I feel that my mum understood me a little bit more than my dad. Mm. It could be a gay thing too, I suppose.
I think a lot of gay boys think about their
relationship to their mum more.
Yeah, their relationships with their mothers seem more potent, I guess.
I think so. I'm not really consciously thinking that, but looking at everyone that I kind of know, I think that's true.
I'm obsessed with my mum.
Oh, that's so cute.
But you do see that quite often, and it's a common story.
It is common. It is common. I mean, my father and I get along like a house on fire now. Like, we're really close. But it was a struggle growing up. He didn't really know how to handle the gift. In fact, he called his auntie, who lives in America, in Los Angeles, when I was 5, wanting me to get an exorcism or something because he really didn't know what it was. He was like, my son is possessed. He sees dead people.
Well, you normally hear stories about parents wanting to, well, pray the gay away. Mm-hmm. For you, they're like, get rid of this gift. He's possessed by
the
devil.
Exactly. And at the time, my dad didn't know I was gay as well, so I'm sure I was only 5.
He's like, we've got to get rid of this. And with you, because, I mean, you had two sisters growing up.
Yes.
What was your dynamic in that role? Like, as in, within your family, what were those dynamics?
I would say that we was a traditional family in the sense of I was the older brother, I had two younger sisters. I think it was kind of very normal, you know. Mm. We didn't see each other as necessarily gay or sister or brother. We just kind of were siblings, and we have a good relationship.
And do they look up to you now?
I don't think they look up to me because I think that they probably think I'm a bit crazy. But we definitely get along. I mean, my sister walked in today when I was shaving my head.
Yeah.
She's like, what are you doing? I'm like, oh, well, you know.
I've got a show to do. I'm doing a radio show.
I just kind of wanted to neaten my face up.
I love it. So what would you say growing up that it was your personality like? What were your personality traits that you had?
I've always been very outgoing. I think I've always been very bubbly. I would say when I was younger, I was a little bit more conscious of what people thought about me, I think, because it wasn't necessarily as cool to be gay back then. I mean, you know, going back, growing up, wasn't necessarily the in thing. Now, no one cares. But I think it was a bit hard growing up, actually.
Yeah, I think that as well. I think that, you know, for me, I grew up in the 90s, and you think back to those times growing up, it certainly wasn't what it is today.
Well, that was my era too. Like, I grew up in the 90s as well.
And then you think of these kids today, what they go through, and you think, oh, I kind of would like to go back and live my my childhood over again when it's probably not as frowned upon.
I think also we have a lot of support now. Mm. You know, I look at kids that are gay and I see that they have a good support network. And I think that's excellent because growing up, I didn't really have anyone gay around me to talk to. So,
and we didn't have any role models either. Mm-mm. It's not like these days where kids can turn on the television and there's people like Ellen.
Right. And Brokeback Mountain wasn't out yet.
So. Exactly. What were you renting on DVD back then?
Right.
It was VHS.
Actually, I think I used to watch Queer as Folk secretly.
Yeah.
Secretly. Because obviously it was, you know, oh my God, like I'm gay and I don't know what to say. And
do you know how many gay people are listening to this right now?
Oh, well,
and thinking that, yeah, they
me
used
too.
To watch... Yeah, Queer as Folk with the volume off or listening closely.
I remember having a crush on, I forgot. I mean, this is going back years. I don't remember the actors, but I remember thinking, oh my God, he's so cute. And I thought, oh, I'm definitely gay.
Well, I would say being a psychic medium and sort of working out that at a young age, because interestingly enough, I think a lot of people know this about you. You started to see and notice things around the age of 4. Is that mm-hmm. right?
That's true. Like my earliest memory is about 3 or 4. I saw spirits just like I see you. And I don't do that as much now because I kind of don't want to. I hear them a lot as opposed to see them. But when I was that young, 3 or 4, I think about 3 actually, because I remember saying what I would see and describing the spirits. And it was so detailed that it was like I'm looking at you, which is why my father struggled with it so much, because it was so real to me and there was nothing wrong with me. So it wasn't like I had, you know, issues necessarily mentally, which sometimes people think. There was nothing wrong with me. So my dad just really couldn't understand it. And it was something that was all in my life.
What could you see?
I saw people like I'm seeing you. So as a kid, actually, I remember vividly, I would describe this shadow guy. I used to call him the shadow guy because he was like a black shadow. And I would talk about him following me, and my dad really struggled with that because he didn't understand how a black shadow was following me.
And then you're probably thinking, what triggered that off? Or
yeah, and it wasn't like I used to watch anything like in movie wise at that age that you would think, oh, he's imagining this. It was very real, and I think that's why my father struggled with it.
Is there a way to describe that kind of vision? I mean, I think that there's different ways to...
Yes. I think now it's a lot different for me, I think, because I've done it for such a long time and I'm, you know, used to it. Mm. At that age, I didn't know what it was. So it was something that was literally unfiltered, no control, and just raw as it comes. Mm. I think it would be best described as clairvoyant mediumship, which is the ability to actually see spirits. And a lot of people as adults will see things on the corner of their eye and turn around and then it's gone. It's almost the exact same thing, except they wouldn't go.
Do you know, it's so strange. As you're telling this story, I think that there's a lot of people listening to it and thinking, you know, normally we're talking about people's childhoods and how interesting it is. But for you, there really was something very different to the dynamic. And it must be hard for some people to hear it because mm-hmm. it's kind of out of the box.
It really is. And I think, you know, and I was kind of popular growing up. I wasn't like necessarily an attention seeker. I kind of got attention all my life. but it was something that was very real. No one really understood it. I have a friend who I'm still friends with 20 years later that I confided in. And she said, oh, Harry, you're not crazy. I see them too. So I had this friend
who was also psychic.
Well, she is psychic and she is very psychic actually. And we used to get crystals together and we used to pray and meditate and channel spirits at a very young age together.
Well, you know, we have to talk about all of this a little bit later. Like, we're going to get more into talking about your abilities or I should say your gift. But how old were you when you realized that you were gay?
I think I was born a medium. I was born gay, I'm pretty sure. I remember having a crush on a boy in primary school, in prep. And I remember thinking, oh, I want him to hold my hand. And it was weird because at that age, it's not like you're romantically inclined with people.
No.
So it was just more a thought. So I think it could be because I'm psychic. I kind of knew things before they happened. I really knew I was gay.
Would you say that your sexuality had a big impact on who you are as a person?
Definitely, because I think who I am now compared to who I was growing up, I now know that there are going to be people out there that are going to love you. There are going to be people out there that don't love you. Mm. And I think being gay really does help you accept that to a degree, because necessarily having the profession that I have isn't mundane. However, being gay isn't necessarily mundane to some people. So I was literally knowing that people are going to like me or hate me for who I am, and I can't ever change that. So I think being gay actually really did help me know that people will just be however they will be, and some will like me and some won't, and now it doesn't really matter.
Well, I guess your gift and your homosexuality polarized people.
Totally.
And it can still polarize people, and they kind of the ways in which people can treat you for both of those things could be hard to deal with.
I think, Ben, it's the fear of the unknown for everyone.
Yeah.
You know, people who frown upon what I do for a job, for example.
Yeah.
Really, it's not really a job. It's more of a vocation because it's a way of life for me.
Mm.
But also being gay, I think some people still do frown upon that. But we can't change.
No.
So, you know, if I never did another reading, for example, I will still have this gift. If I never had another boyfriend, which I've been single for 5 years, so really it's kind of like going that way, I'll still be gay. So there are things that we can't necessarily change about us, and they're the two things that I'm very proud of, actually, because I wouldn't think of another way to be.
I think it's interesting, though, the words that you're using there, like fear.
Mm.
I guess that is, it's true. That's where people struggle, is when they fear of something that they don't know,
mm-hmm.
they have a way of pushing against it. So there's people out there that are fearful of, I guess, gay people, like, you know, because it's different to them
mm-hmm.
and they don't have the answers. And then to hear that you're a psychic medium, you know, again, that's not the norm.
That's correct.
And so it's hard for them to understand whether or not it's true, I guess.
Do you know, once I was at a wedding. This was probably 10 years ago, maybe when I was just starting professionally doing this.
Mm.
I remember a relative's boyfriend said to me that I would burn in hell for being gay. And I remember turning around saying, well, I talk to dead people too, so I'm going to burn twice.
That's so true. Yeah, exactly.
And and he was freaked out. It was, I'm like, yeah, well, there you go. Don't shock value me.
It's so funny, though, when you think of that. We talked about it before. We talked about what your parents thought. Did your parents work out your sexuality, I guess, before you did? Do they seem to have an understanding of...
You know, I think my mum deep down knew. I mean, my mum passed away when I was 14, so we never really had that conversation.
Yeah.
I think she did deep down know, but I didn't necessarily come out of the closet until probably about 16. And my father found out, actually, the hard way. He went through my mail and it was a real... I mean, back then we used to send letters to people. Now it's all email, but...
So were you sending letters to other boys?
I was receiving them.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, I was receiving them. My father, it was actually quite a sad situation because my father didn't deal with it very well because he went through my mail and found out that I was gay. And I think he always knew, but when you have it in your face, black and white, from a third party necessarily, I think it was very hard for him. And I actually lived out of home at a very young age after that just to kind of sort my life out because it was very different for my father. Now he kind of doesn't care, but back then he did.
Well, I think it's something for him to get over. And I don't think anyone's parents out there, I know it sounds like a bad thing to say, it's not like they wish for gay children or anything,
No. But
there's a bit of a hurdle of, you know, shifting things around and, you know, realizing that maybe their child's life could be a little bit different.
Right. And I think also they probably think it's not normal because they're not that way. Again, it's fear of the unknown because a lot of people back then didn't really know that many gay people, not openly anyway. And I think that is probably why parents who do struggle with their children who are gay do struggle with it because they don't understand it.
Mm.
Because to them, they're not like that. Whereas I think gay people are more open-minded. We don't necessarily see sexuality as much. Like, I don't really see myself liking men. I just know I like men, if that makes sense. Whereas straight people don't necessarily think of them as straight.
I 100% get that, because I know this is going to be the dumbest thing I've ever said, but coming out of my body, I always think that I'm like a more straighter, blokier person. And then it's only whenever I see myself, you know, on television or anything, and I hear my voice, I think, oh, I'm so much gayer than I realised I was.
Yeah, because you don't necessarily think of it.
No.
You just are. And I think that will relate to a lot of people, actually.
So were these, was it letters or was it imagery or what was
No, there were letters. There were letters about some guy that I was seeing and then another guy wanted me. It was just a whole, it was a soap opera back then.
But you know what's interesting, though, is like, you know, obviously it took him some time to get over it. What was it that shifted, that allowed him to then
connect? You know, to be honest with you, it was my father's girlfriend at the time, who till this day I think really saved my life in many ways, because my father really struggled with it.
Mm.
Like, I think he was getting quite aggressive when he found out. And I mean, God bless him. I mean, he didn't know better. Now he's totally fine. But it was my dad's girlfriend at the time, who they're no longer together. He's got a new partner. He's had her for, like, I don't know, nearly 10 years, actually. But yeah, it was who he was seeing at the time. She was, I think, an angel, and I still every now and then will reach out to her via text, or we'll catch up, you know, maybe once or twice a year. And she, I think, really helped him come around. And she kind of said, he's your son.
And came into your... I think, you know, she obviously came into your life at the right time.
Absolutely.
And then, because I don't know, what happened to your mother? Like, she passed away at 14.
Right. So my mother was 37 when she passed away, which is very young. Mm. And she had ovarian cancer. And I remember as a child, I think I was like 12. Before, she passed away when I was 14, but I was about 12, I think, when she was diagnosed. I remember telling my neighbour, I think my mum had cancer. I remember having this conversation. So it was like kind of evident with my gift. I knew things without knowing how I knew them.
And so you kind of saw that in a way.
But I didn't know how I knew. And I remember my neighbour, who I think was in her late 20s, early 30s at the time, saying to me, how do you know? Like, you're not meant to know. And I remember that conversation like it was yesterday, actually. And I remember saying, I don't know, I just know. And then a few weeks later we were told, because I don't think my parents wanted us to know as children, but I knew.
You know, I lost my father at youngish age. I was in my 20s. Mm-hmm. But I honestly believe that when parents leave, that it leaves... You feel something leave the universe. Like, you feel a bit of a pull that happens to you. What effects did that have on being such a young boy, losing your mum like that?
That's a great question. I think it does change your life. Mm. It changed mine, for sure. I remember having a sliding doors moment of, okay, I either learn about life and mature and grow up, or I let this consume me and kind of be sad and miserable, which some people do. And it's sad because they lose so much joy. Because life isn't that bad. Life is actually beautiful. Mm. We can make it bad by the way we react. You know, I believe that we can react to things that happen to us from love or fear. And they're the two paths, really. And I'm very fortunate that my mindset is always from love, really. I mean, I'm not perfect. I'm not an angel, far from. But I do really react on situations, to the best of my ability anyway, from a loving way. And looking at a positive perspective in every situation that there is.
There's so much that I think is in that, what you've just said, because there are so many people out there that have their hardships or things happen to them in their life, and it's hard to move forward. And the thing about you, Harry, which I love, is that you're such a bright and happy person.
Thank you.
And, you know, you obviously have had to put some things to bed that have been difficult.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that also has made me a better medium. I think having a life that wasn't the easiest life based on experiences and situations at a young age, I think really molded me to do what I'm doing, because in many ways, I think if I didn't have those life experiences at the age that I did, I wouldn't be able to have the success that I've achieved in my profession at this age.
Such a good way to look at it.
Yeah.
One of the things I love to ask people at this point of the interview is about what advice you would give to Harry, if Harry walked in as a 12-year-old now.
I love that question. And, you know, I knew you were going to ask me a question like, what would you tell your younger self? I remember in the lift thinking, he's going to ask me that. What advice would I give? Relax. I would say relax.
Enjoy the ride.
Enjoy the ride. And you will eventually look better than you think.
I love the fact that, you know, that when we're younger, we always think we're so hideous.
Oh.
And then we go and look at these photos of what we actually did look like. And I think to myself, I mean, I never thought I was an attractive person. But like, when I look at these pictures of myself as a kid now, I think, oh, why did I put so much pressure on myself to look like everyone else?
Well, Ben, I went through some very crazy hair phases. I had long hair. I had curly hair. I had straight hair.
Did you dye it?
You know, I've dyed it a million times.
Have you had streaks?
Yeah, I had everything you can think of. In fact, I remember once my hair went purple and because I wanted to dye it jet black, and this was all self-doing as you do back then. Yeah, I remember having purple hair, black hair. I wanted to go blonde once, so I put blonde streaks, caramel streaks.
So your advice to yourself as a 12-year-old is just to relax and also leave your hair alone.
And shave your head off.
Look, Harry, your story wakes people up and you have thousands of people that follow you. What do you think, ultimately, beyond being a psychic, is what people are drawn to about you?
The fact that I'm very real. I think that people like that. I mean, I literally will say what's in my head. I have no filter between my brain and my mouth. And I would say my heart and my mouth, actually. Because I'm a very open person and I don't hide anything. And I really do love people. I think that's what people like about me.
You and I share that in common. We don't necessarily always think too much. We just say what's in our minds.
True. True. Yeah. But that's a rare quality, Ben. Mm. And I think that's why people probably gravitate towards us because it's refreshing.
Yeah.
You know?
And also, I think that you're an empathetic person.
Very.
So I see that empathy in you, and I love that about you. I love the complex personality traits of putting empathy with opinion.
Yeah, well, that's actually a good point. I mean, I'm a Gemini, like, really to a T, no pun intended. And I really do have a very strong opinionated side, but I also have an extremely sensitive and very compassionate side to me. And I think that they actually make me who I am. And it's interesting because personally, I would say that I am a very strong person, but professionally, I would say that I'm a very sensitive person.
Yeah.
And I think I have to be with what I do. But that is who I am. There are literally two sides to me.
Yeah, I think, well, that's sort of like the complex cocktail that you need to have if you're going to be working in the line of work that you do, and that you're dealing with people every day and you're dealing with sometimes really sensitive pieces of information.
Right. That's a good point. And I think that's why a lot of people who have this gift, who don't use it necessarily as a profession, I think it's because they don't have that character in them necessarily to deal with someone's life. Because I know some people out there who really could do what I do and really do really well professionally, but they don't have the personality for it.
But see, also, I think that your life and your childhood and what happened to you also shaped you to where you needed to be.
100%.
You know, so you get to utilize, you know, loss and grief, and then you blend that all together and it's incredibly accessible.
That's a great way to look at it, because really that's true. When someone has lost a loved one, I can relate. When someone has been judged for who they are and they can't change it, I can relate. I think that is so true. And actually, I think being a gay medium actually goes hand in hand. I really do think that. Because if you think about it, there's a lot of female psychics and there's a lot of gay psychics, I suppose. There is something to that. Maybe because we're more in touch with our emotions.
I think that's what it is.
I think it is too. You know, because it's not linear. You know, it is something that is more emotion-based. And I think that's true. Actually, I remember Tyler and I having a moment of that because we were both gay, we were both mediums, we were both in the public eye. And I think there is something to that.
What makes good medium?
A good medium, well, one, they need to be authentic. So they can't necessarily want to be a medium. They need to be a medium, which means that they would know from a very early age that they were in touch with spirits, whether they saw them, heard them, felt them, knew that they were there, whatever it is. But I also think compassion. I think you have to be compassionate, because I've seen mediums out there work and they might be right about something, but they're aggressive in their delivery. And I think, oh, okay, you might be getting the information accurately, but you don't care that your client is breaking down. Like, you need to have that level of empathy. That's what makes a good medium, and life experience.
So there's going to be lots of people that are really skeptical about this.
Yes.
And there's going to be people that are like drawn to it.
Yes.
Which is, you know, the roll of the dice.
Totally.
But let's describe what it is that you do, so people know exactly what it is that you're gifted with.
I communicate with people who have passed over. And when I say people, actually, that's not just people. I also speak to animals who have passed over, which is nuts, but it's true. They do have a soul. You know, some people don't know that, but they do. Animals truly have a soul. And I've communicated with many, actually, celebrity animals, which is interesting. I remember with Jolie Fisher, I had her father come through, Eddie Fisher, her sister Carrie Fisher, the stepmother, Debbie Reynolds. It was like a Hollywood movie. Elizabeth Taylor came through, which for me was, I was starstruck by the dead Elizabeth Taylor. But what was amazing is that a dog came through in her reading that was her father's dog. And the dog came through by name, by appearance, and all of that. And I think for both of us, that was the biggest wow moment. Because it's not public.
That's so full on.
You know, her life is public, but the dog wasn't. And I think that was very interesting. So I communicate with spirits.
Do you get starstruck? You do.
By Elizabeth Taylor, 100% I did. And it's interesting because that's true. I remember thinking, oh my God, this is crazy. Because if there's one celebrity that I would have wanted to meet alive, it would have been her. Because I think Elizabeth Taylor is an icon.
Yeah, she's the quintessential gay icon.
Oh, beyond.
Yeah.
Right? And I remember when she came through in Jolie Fisher's reading, I thought, oh my God, this is Elizabeth Taylor. And I remember thinking, I can't be making this up, because she actually walked in and I saw her. She had the diamonds, she had her beautiful eyes and everything. And I thought, this is actually full on. But in saying that, they knew each other. So there's a reason, you know, if I'm doing a reading for someone and a loved one comes through that they had a relationship with, of course they're going to come through. Just because someone is famous doesn't mean that their relatives won't come through. They do.
You know, some psychics say something significant happened to them to innate their gift, mm-hmm. like, you know, for them to recognize right. it. Do you think anything significant happened, or do you just think you were born with it?
I was born with it. Nothing really significant happened to make me realize I had the gift. I always knew I did. I didn't know it was a gift. Mm. I just knew that I was doing something. Mm. However, when my mum passed away when I was 14, it did give me a perspective of, well, I know that our life doesn't end with death. So it almost took me on, okay, Harry, go out there and learn about what you're doing.
How does your ability work? Because different psychics have different mm-hmm. ways of doing it. They might do it with cards, they right. might do it with crystals.
Right.
For you, is there tools that you use to sort of open yourself up to this?
There's no tools, but I do pray before I do any reading because I believe that my work is actually through me, not from me. Mm. So I do pray to what I call God, which a lot of people can call the universe, consciousness, whatever people relate to as a higher power, because there is no question that there is a higher power, without a doubt. Whatever it is that someone believes, I believe that everyone has a right to believe in that belief, but there is no doubt that there is a higher power.
And does that change, though, with different people you see? For different clients that you have come through, do you use different techniques?
No, it's always the same, because I literally will just pray and I'll get the information. And the way I actually receive the information is through all my senses. It's almost like they become heightened. So it's like seeing, hearing, feeling, sometimes smelling and tasting even, and also that extra sense of knowing. It's a combination. I'm predominantly clairaudient, which means I hear the messages more so, but I will also see, feel and smell, taste, know, all of that stuff.
Did you get freaked out the first time that a member of the police, I guess, got in contact with you and tried to help out with a cold case?
I didn't get freaked out necessarily, but what I did get freaked out about was when I had a living person come to me who was actually wanting to commit a crime, a murder crime. That freaked me out. It wasn't necessarily the police coming to me for, because I have done that many times. I had a living person come to me. This is a real story. In Sydney, I was living in Sydney at the time, actually.
Yeah.
And I had this beefy man, like straighter than anything could be, come to me for a reading. And I thought, oh my God, he gave me a false name, actually. And I remember knowing that. And he was going to commit a murder.
And I told him,
he wanted to know if it would be successful. And I remember telling him, one, the person that you want to do this horrific thing to didn't do the crime that you think did. He wanted to take justice into his own hands.
Ah.
And I said to him, if you do that, you'll get caught, you'll go to jail, and your girlfriend, I think it was, or wife, I don't remember, will sleep with your best friend and you'll never see them again. And you'll lose your children. And I remember he left that reading and he looked at me and he said, you don't know who this would have been, but you've just saved their life. And he walked out, and I remember thinking, that freaked me out.
Of course that freaked,
that freaked me out. And then I was watching the news all the time to make sure he didn't do it. But I know intuitively that he didn't do it. And I do believe, I know this is a big statement to make, but I do believe that it's because of the reading that I did that he didn't do it.
It's so strange because you think, you know, such amount of responsibility, I guess,
right.
sometimes gets placed into your hands. Did you go and get some sort of training? I mean, I know that you didn't go to university and study. Mm-hmm. Like, you wanted to be a lawyer, I think.
Correct.
It was.
I did want to be a lawyer.
Yeah. And then instead, you know, you followed this passion. Mm-hmm. But did you go and get any formalized training?
No, I didn't get any formalized training. However, I do know many mediums. So for me, as a young medium, I mean, now I'm not as young as I used to be, I did go to friends who were a lot older. In fact, I'm very good friends with a lady who had her own TV show, Lisa Williams. And back when I kind of was, I mean, yeah, it was about 11 years ago she had a TV show, 10 years ago, and I was starting professionally and we're friends, and I would go to her about certain things because she was in the public eye, she had a television show, she was doing this, and I did confide in medium friends of mine, but I didn't have any training.
I get so caught up in this, you know. As I was growing up, it's interesting, I was really skeptical about all psychics,
right,
to the point of absolute hogwash.
Right.
And then I was at a wedding and was walking past this woman who had tarot cards, and she said, come over here and I want to read you these cards. I said no, but she then hooked me by saying, I can tell you three things about you that I shouldn't know. And she picked all three. I can't remember all three of them, actually,
right.
But it was like, your best friend has red hair. Your first boyfriend is still in love with you. So I'm sorry if you're listening, because that's kind of true. But
God, I wish I had that problem.
Yeah, of having an ex-boyfriend still in love with you.
Yeah, the one. Oh, my God.
No one wants that, let me tell you.
Oh, my
anyway,
God.
But she hooked me, and then she told me that I was going to win Big Brother.
Wow.
And then I won it like 6 months later. But it was so weird because I hadn't been cast on the show.
Isn't that incredible?
So then I became, and now everyone out there is probably listening and thinking, oh, God. But I was really skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
And then now it seems to me that I can't explain it, but I believe this. I've never had a negative experience with a psychic. Mm-hmm. I've only ever had positive experience in the sense that anything that they've shared to me, I've walked away and it's actually changed my life for the better.
It's so amazing.
I'm less likely these days to pick apart and say, I don't believe.
Right.
I'm more happy to just know that it's have a positive experience on me, so why would it be bad?
Exactly. And also, I think it's where human nature can be ignorant a little bit.
Mm.
Because really, the proof in this is the longevity of it.
Mm.
It has been around forever. And we'll be around forevermore. This isn't new. Sometimes people talk about new age, but it's not really, because it's always been. And it's, in fact, in all religions, it does discuss, to some capacity, this gift. I know a lot of people have misinterpreted some lines of the Bible, for example.
Mm.
However, it is there. So there is something to this gift, whether people frown upon it or not, it is very real. And I'm not the only one like this. You know, there's so many people out there just like me.
Did you ever try and push it aside and think, I'm not going
to have... For sure. Definitely. I remember, like you said before, I wanted to be a lawyer. I totally wanted to be a lawyer. I think I would have made a great one, actually. But I knew that I was very good at this, you know. And it was my friend who I lived with in Sydney who said, you should just do readings. I'm like, what's a reading? And she said, well, you've always done. And I never thought of it that way.
Who was the first person you did a reading for?
Oh, my God. I was probably in high school. It was, again, not really consciously a reading. I think it was probably when I was like 12, 13.
Wow.
Yeah, that young.
I'm picturing this as that you've got some best friend at school and mm-hmm. she's dragged you home with this ability that she thinks you've got, and then their parents or the mums like asking you for a reading.
Do you want to know actually something about what you just said did happen when I was about 12, actually? After, you know, kind of people knew that I was able to do this. And I did have some friends that I would confide in. And like I said before, I've got a friend who I'm still friends with now. And I would go to their house and we would like channel spirits and predict who we were going to hook up with next week or whatever. Long story short, someone, I forgot her name, heard about what I could do. And she said, do you pick up anything about me? And I remember saying to her, oh, your father's girlfriend, the little Asian girl. Oh, she's quite nice, but you don't know her? And she was like, what are you talking about? Like, my mum's at home. She's not Asian. She's like a tall, blonde woman. She went home, told her mum this. The mum ended up finding out that the husband was having an affair with this little Asian woman, and he was in Thailand at the time of me saying this.
No.
100%. And the mother contacted me as a 12-year-old saying, how did you know this?
She thought
that I knew. I didn't know them. I didn't know who she was.
She's like, how
old? I'm like, I definitely don't know your husband who's in Thailand. But true story. True story.
Oh, so full on. What changed in that moment when you did the first few readings? Like, you know, did you start to think?
I remember realizing that there was a lot to this and that people were getting so much from it. When I went professionally into this nearly a decade ago, I saw the impact that I was having on so many people who were so much older than me. And I thought, whoa, people really want this. I had no idea that it would be popular. I mean, to me, it's so normal, right?
I think I said this to you a couple of years ago and I was like, you know, aren't you worried that you have lots of people wanting to be your friend because they want...
Oh, I did have that. I did have that. But now I've got very healthy boundaries, so I don't have that problem anymore. But
I don't answer people's phone calls.
Right, exactly. Block, block.
I know how to block people's phone numbers.
Or if I bump into people, oh, what's your phone number? I don't have a phone. I'm holding it.
Delete.
Whoops.
What was your first break into TV and radio?
I would say my first break on television or radio, it was this show called Psychic TV. It was a late night show. And it was like 2011.
Mm.
And they wanted me on there because people had heard about me.
Mm.
And I was like, oh, but it's late night and it's TV. And I mean, it was on like a whatever channel, which back then I used to probably think it was like, you know, oh my God, everyone's going to watch.
Yeah.
But that was my first break. And from that, it became bigger and bigger, and I went to Channel 10 and I started doing commercial things, and then I went into commercial radio, which now, no, community radio, and then I went into commercial radio. So for me, it started quite small, but what's interesting is I thought it was so big.
But when did you work out that you could make a living from this?
Yeah, it was probably about 2010.
And so you were like, okay.
2010, 2009. Yeah. So it was about nine years ago.
Who's some of the most famous people you've ever done a reading for?
Oh, my God. Okay, Larry King, for sure.
And how does Larry King get in contact with you?
See, I know a lot of people, Ben.
I told that story to someone. A friend of mine was like, oh, what's going on with your friend Harry? And I was like, you know, oh, he's in Los Angeles at the moment. Oh, he just did a reading for Larry King.
True.
And, you know, Larry King is the creme de la creme
he's
of
huge.
Talk shows.
He's huge.
You know, like, he's honestly probably down as the best.
He is, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, he really is.
And then you have this relationship with him
right.
when you're doing readings.
He actually really likes me. He did a video endorsement for me.
Wow.
Which is online. I mean, it's, you know, sometimes people think, oh, did you really? I'm like, well, you can just Google it. It's there. And he is probably one of the most famous people that I've ever sat down with in his home, by the way. Mm. I was invited to his house, and his wife, Sean, has now become a really good friend of mine. And they've invited me to do his talk show when I get back to LA. So when I go back, I'm a guest on his talk show, which is a big deal. And I would say he's probably the most famous because the other famous people that I am friends with or that I have done readings for respect him so much.
I have a question for you.
Yes.
Do you sometimes meet other psychics and you think that they're not psychic?
Definitely. Totally.
How do you spot a fake?
You just know. You can just tell.
I love that we're talking about this because yesterday I was listening on radio and a particular Australian psychic, and let's not out this person, but I honestly, every time I hear it, I'm like, oh, that doesn't really sound like they know what they're doing. It sounds like they're pin-picking some very easy processes that you can utilise
right.
to try and relate to people.
I think so too, and I think just because someone is on radio or TV, and I mean, I am on radio a lot and TV a lot, but just because someone is doesn't mean they're good. Sometimes having a profile in media doesn't mean you have a profile in the profession. I became known in the media for my work, but there are people out there that have become known for other things that do maybe this line of work kind of.
A sort of line.
A little bit.
Well, I think we're talking about the same person.
I think we are.
But I would say, who is someone that you would love to do a reading for? Who's a celebrity that's out there that you've got in your line?
I can't name her. Because I am doing a reading for her. She's huge. And I can tell you off
air. It's Ellen.
Well, actually, Ellen was gifted. Well, I probably shouldn't be saying this on air because I haven't done it yet. But,
yeah.
I mean, Jolie Fisher and Ellen are very good friends.
Mm.
So Ellen did just have a birthday. I'm not going to say too much, but fill in the blank.
I'm going to say that's pretty exciting.
That is pretty exciting. But there's someone that's more exciting to me than Ellen.
Can you give us a clue?
Oh, she's huge. She's
that's
an icon.
Okay. That's not helping me.
Okay.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, because this could be a few people.
Yeah.
All right. She's known by one name. That's all I'm going to say. There's a few people known by one name.
Yeah, all the gays in the world have just gone, Madonna.
Right, exactly.
But look, we're going off on a tangent here. What would you say is a project that you've worked on that you've been the most proud of? Like, I know that you work with Smallsy on Nova and
right.
you love that project.
I do.
Is there something in your mind that you think that's an achievement?
To be honest with you, I would say in my career, it would be the readings that I have done that have changed lives in such big ways that people don't even know about it. I think they're the biggest highlights for me. It's not about being famous or being on TV and stuff. You know, I mean, I'm very fortunate that I do get called on TV quite often. I mean, my highlight is the work that I do off camera and it changes lives.
Yeah, which I think is great, you know, because you can then... There's a real sense of achievement and I guess that's what you're getting out of it.
You like, really do. You really do. You know, Ben, actually, people who do this to be famous are doing it with the wrong intention. You shouldn't do anything to be famous. You should do something because you're either good at it or because you love it and you're passionate about it. And it should always result in some way helping someone. Really, it should. And I think with what you're doing, for example, you're giving a platform to people to listen to. Mm. And I think it's helping tremendous amount of people.
Well, I think that for me personally, I'm interested in people's stories.
Yes.
And, you know, I was talking about this with my mum the other day, you know, why is it that I'm working for a community radio station doing something like this? And I'm like, I'm just fascinated by different people's lives.
But don't you think that people's stories help people?
Mm.
Because when I hear stories, I either can relate to it or I learn from it.
That's my motto though. Like, as in, I always say to everyone, share your stories. we've been on a real journey with what sexuality means in Australia, and it's been a real roller coaster over the last few years. Do you feel, and I don't necessarily know this because I've never asked you, do you feel proud to be a gay man?
Definitely. I feel proud to be who I am, actually. And that is a gay man, that is a psychic, that is a medium, that is a 5'6", sometimes chubby, sometimes skinny person.
But do you feel proud to be a part of the community?
Absolutely. Being part of the LGBTQI community.
No, you did well because, you know, and you can say whichever it is. I'm not here to knock people down for how many letters they use.
Because I know it's changed because it used to be just LGBT.
Yes.
I think. And now it's QI as well.
I want to be the most inclusive person alive. So, like, I'm certainly not discluding the QI for any other reason except for I just... you know, I just feel like that's the correct term at the time.
Yes, yes.
And it took me a long time to understand to refer to people in the LGBTI community as queer. Because as I grew up, queer was always a negative term.
Right.
And so then now we
doesn't queer mean weird or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's so odd.
And I still say to my mum, like, we talk about the LGBTI community. I talk about it a lot. And grates on her. It really grates on her that she can't use the word queer, or she feels upset to hear people use that about me.
Because there's a negative connotation with the word, and I think that's why. For me, I don't mind necessarily because, I mean, there's a lot of words used about me that's negative, so I'm kind of whatever. But I do think that we all are part of the community, and it's a great community to be part of. It's almost like you think of having a nationality or you think of having a birth home or something like that, that will always be and you'll always have a commonality with that nation or with that group. Same thing.
Do you feel like you disconnect in any way from being a queer person? Like, as in, do you see yourself being very different to the culture of being gay?
I don't think I do see myself. I mean, I'm pretty flamboyant. But there's also a conservative side to me. However, no, I think everyone knows I'm gay. It's not hard.
No. Do you see yourself being married and settling down with someone?
I wish. You know what? It's actually a great question to ask because it was just yesterday I was having this poor me moment, which I have sometimes. It's normal.
We all do.
Right? And I was really upset because I'm like, I am like literally the only person that's still single in my group and I don't know what's wrong with me. I have no problem meeting people. You know, in terms of dates, I mean, I'm like a serial dater. I mean, you know, if this is Melbourne, you'll either know me because of what I do or you'll know me because I've gone on a date with you. But it's so hard to meet someone, you know. It could be because of maybe what I do. I don't know. But I really do want to meet someone and settle down.
Do you think that maybe gay men in particular are more fussier?
I think
days.
So. I mean, I'm probably more fussier. In
you're
saying
so
that,
fussy.
I probably am.
I've been out with you and pointed people out and you're like, no.
Yeah, I probably am fussy. And look, really, I probably could have settled down with a couple of guys that are out there, sorry. But if it's not for you, it's not for you. And I really do want that. So, yeah, I would love to get married and have a family and be the annoying gay husband.
With the picket white fence. You know that there are lots of people talking about this at the moment and there are the picket white fence gays, you know, the type that want to settle down and have that life. And then there's also a part of the community now that's pushing away from the heteronormative behaviours, not wanting to fall in line with the straight culture and wanting to embrace a different lifestyle, you know, open relationships and all that sort of thing. But is there a divide for you with that?
For me, I don't judge. So whatever works, works. In fact, I was actually asked a few days ago if I'd be interested in being part of a three-way relationship. I thought, that's the weirdest question I've ever heard.
Is it called a truple?
I forgot what the word was, but I think it's some truple. Word. Yeah, I thought, what on earth? I'm like, let me find someone that I can maybe be one-on-one with first and then maybe, like, I would never discount anything because it'd be ignorant of me to do, but I've never thought of that way. I don't think we should label or section ourselves off. I think when we limit ourselves as human beings or as gay people, for example, I think that's sad because we should all be part of the same world.
But you're still looking for a one-on-one relationship.
Of course.
You're not going into the trouble anytime soon.
There's probably a little bit of a...
You'd love it, though. You'd have two people fussing over you.
Yeah, but I don't want them to fuss over each other.
Imagine if they were leaving you out. You'd be so jealous.
My God. Are you kidding me? No way. No way.
Can you see things for yourself looking into the future? Like, do you see yourself settling? Can you see it for yourself?
You know what? The honest answer to that is no, I don't really see things for myself. I used to think I do, and I sometimes do pick up on things, and I'm right, but I can't see things for myself because I think we get biased.
That's what I was going to say.
You know, because I really want this, like, tall, dark and handsome husband, but do I psychically think that or do I, Harry, think that?
How do you separate those two?
You don't. That's why I just let whatever happens.
You're just like, well, I know, need
so
to
So I never really look into it because I think it goes backwards. Sometimes I think I've been so right for myself and I've been so wrong.
I've heard, though, you know how you hear of psychologists having other psychologists to go to?
Yes.
So is that the same for mediums?
I think it is. I think it is. My friend Lisa and I do readings for one another. Actually, we were on FaceTime a few days ago and we said, you're hey, right. bid you for a reading. Do you want to do a reading again for each other? And it's good because she's one of the best in the world. I'm one of the best in the world. So we trust each other and we know that we're both genuine and we're both friends. So even though it's sometimes hard to do a reading for a friend, when you're a medium doing a reading for another medium, it works. Sometimes doing a reading for a friend, it can be hard because you've got kind of the same biased feeling. But when they're doing the same thing you're doing, you're both doing it for one another, I think it works.
Has she told you there's a man coming into your life?
She has. She actually said...
There's three of them. Do you have a lot of guys approaching you because they're like, you know, being that you're a media personality, do you have a lot of guys coming and trying to ask you on a date?
Do you want my honest answer to that?
Yeah.
I actually think I need to delete Grindr because of Married at First Sight. It was never before. It wasn't like, you know, I mean, I've always done this. It's not new. But since that show went to air, I literally, when I'm on Grindr or Tinder, which I am, it really is me. Yeah. I am on that. You know, I'm single and I'm allowed. I have, on a daily basis.
You get hit up.
Daily. Oh, my God, you're that guy from Maths. And I think, well, I was on there for like 5 minutes and I've done so much else, but yeah, that is me. Like,
but it is those shows, though.
It's like, so yeah. weird. And I also have people who I think want to catch up with me or sleep with me, actually, because of who I know.
Wow. Yeah. They want to meet Sarah
totally.
From First Sight.
I had, this is so, like, out there. Okay, but I hooked up with a guy recently. He's like, oh, my God, when are you going to introduce me to Sarah? I'm like, yeah, delete.
Was the hookup good?
I've had so much better.
He'll be the type of person that listens to this right now.
Totally. And he messaged me before going, are you over me? I'm like, I'm not even replying. Stop messaging.
Okay, if you're out there and you're listening to this, you just worked out that this is all over.
Damn.
I want to know, in relationships, what is Harry T like in a relationship?
To be honest with you, I think I'm a bit high maintenance. I think I need to really learn how to be a better partner. I think that's why I've been single for 5 years. I think because truly, and I mean, look, I'm honest beyond belief. I mean, the fact that I'm even saying that about myself, I am a little bit of a B-I-T-C-H sometimes. Mm. I think I need to be a little bit kinder to my partner. I think it's just because I get so caught up in things, you know, in a relationship. Everything else in my life, that's my Achilles heel, relationships. Everything else in my life, I'm nice, I'm friendly, I'm the first person to be there for someone. When it comes to relationships, I do not know what happens to me. I become defensive, I become paranoid, I become, where were you at 3 o'clock? You know, whatever.
I think we just definitely got an insight into what you're like in a relationship.
I know.
But, you know, I think it's hard sometimes to tame yourself.
I think it's also because I've been scarred in previous relationships. So there are things that I need to work on for sure before I settle down. And I think that's why I've been single for so long. I think everything happens for a reason. And trust is a big thing for me. So I probably need to trust more. But yeah, if you're listening and you kind of have a crush on me, please don't not come after me because of that.
If someone's listening to this right now, how do they get in contact with you?
Well, if you're cute, you can call me.
We're so not giving out a mobile number.
I know.
At this stage of the interview, we'll be like, anyway, so Harry T's mobile number. And all you're going to get is crazy people being like, can you please introduce me to Sarah from...
exactly.
Married at First. But do you know what the difference is with Sarah? And you've introduced me to her.
Right.
Is that she is a recognisable person a mile away.
You can't mistake her for anyone.
Because, like, no. That's the difference between Sarah and I.
Well, she stands out.
She's like Jessica Rabbit, really.
That actually is kind of like, I mean, I shouldn't say this, but that was kind of her nickname for the show.
Wow.
I probably shouldn't be saying this. Okay, so before the couples met one another,
yeah,
they all had code names for who they were like.
Oh.
So one was Pocahontas, one was someone else, like character archetypes.
One of them was Satan.
Well, probably, right? Her one was Jessica Rabbit.
Get out.
Because you think about it, she looks like Jessica Rabbit.
Do you know, we've been talking for so long today about this all. Maybe I've now got psychic ability.
Maybe you do.
Well, I got to ask this, you know, what's next for you? Because there's just so many things that I think, you know, Harry, you really could be doing.
Thank you. What is next for me? So I'm going back to America later in the year. I'll be interviewed on Larry King's show. I've got some television projects that I'm working on with some really big production companies. It's just kind of like narrowing it down to what is the concept, who is the best fit, and they're gorillas in the industry, so they're very capable of doing it. It's just, it's got to be the right match. But I think I'm going to have my own show.
Which I think I'd watch.
Well, I hope so.
The friendship's over if
are
I'm not
kidding?
Watching. You know, have you got a message for the queer community that are listening to this right now?
Yes. I think if you're listening out there and you need to hear something that will help you in any way, it's just remember that hard times will pass. Mm. Whatever you are going through, no matter what hardship it might be or what disappointment, sometimes disappointments can really be our greatest blessings. Mm. And no matter what you are going through that might be really hard on your heart, it will pass and you will get through it and you will one day look back and you will be a stronger person for it.
I think there's something in that for so many people that are listening. I mean, it's so relevant. And if people want to get in contact with you, how can they do it apart from calling you on your mobile and asking for a date?
Only if they're cute. No, no, no. My website is harrytofficial.com and my Instagram is @harrytofficial.
Amazing. Well, I want to say thank you so much for taking the time of being a part of Word for Word today.
Thank you for having me.
Word for Word is presented and produced by Ben Norris from Australia's LGBTI radio station, Joy. Word for Word is distributed nationally to over 70 radio stations across the community radio network.